And he spake, that is Jesus, a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? The key verse we want to kind of consider tonight is verse number 5, a verse maybe you would not think is where we want to go. But take a look at it again. The Bible says, Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her, here's the phrase, continual coming, she weary me. The purpose of this parable was to encourage God's people in the matter of prayer. Obviously, he says that all men ought to pray. But then it says in verse number 1, not that they always just ought to pray, but what? And not to faint, not to quit in our prayers. It was to give them an incentive not to quit praying. What is the purpose to continually pray and ask God about these requests that he's led us to share with him? Well, Jesus gives us some answers. Of course, the rest of the Bible does too. We want to take a few moments looking at this thought tonight. Four lessons on prayer from the persistent widow. Four lessons on prayer from the persistent widow. Short, sweet, and hopefully helpful for us tonight. Four lessons on prayer from the persistent widow. Would you pray with me now? I'll ask God to help us as we go look at his word some more. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of prayer, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to speak to the Creator of all we see. And know, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Know that you will answer prayer. Know, Lord, that you are with us considering things in our lives even right now. As we saw Wednesday night, even our down sitting and our uprising, the very smallest things that we can do, you're interested in. And now I pray, help us to see God just a little bit, how our prayer life can grow closer to what you want it to be. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Four lessons on prayer from the persistent widow. Lesson number 1, God expects us to pray. That's a difficult one, I know, but there it is, right there. Notice again verse 1, And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. It's not a matter of, well, when things get tough, when things kind of aren't looking your way. No, it's always, he said, men ought always to pray. God expects that from you and me. Turn with me, if you would, Hebrews chapter 4. What is prayer? Prayer simply is, first of all, as we continue, God expects us to pray. Praying is calling on the Heavenly Father in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's key, that it must be through the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4, that's the kind of prayer God wants to hear from you and me. Look at verse number 14 with me, if you would. Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14, says this, Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let me stop right there for a moment. We'll read some more. But what was the purpose of the priest in the Old Testament? What was his purpose, according to God's word? What did he do for the people and for God in the Old Testament? He was the representative. He was the one in the middle that brought the requests of the people to God, and in many cases, God's answer to the people. That was part of his job. Well, we don't need somebody to do that for us. Amen. God says you are a priest today. Did you know that? If you're born again, you're a priest. It means you can approach God on your own for this very reason. Take a look again, verse 14 says that Jesus is our high priest. We don't need another high priest. He's the one. Verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of all that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Praying is simply calling on the Heavenly Father in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Praying, secondly, is asking for things. That's what pray means. The word pray is used all through the Bible numerous times, multitudes of times. And the word means simply to ask. That's what it truthfully, to down its bare bones, means. It means asking for some of these specific things. Number one, asking for forgiveness of sin through confession. You know 1 John 1:9. Let's say that together if you know it. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible tells us that one of the things that we need to have in our prayer, or at least consider, and maybe our prayers, this is what it hones around at sometimes, is asking for forgiveness of sin. Sin is anything that is against God, does not meet His standard. That's sin. Something interesting, the Bible, we think, well, you know, I say a bad word, I think a bad thought, or I did something wrong. The Bible says this, even something that is done without faith is sin. So that's interesting. You consider that, man, we might be spending quite a lot of time with God if we consider those things. But asking for forgiveness, confession. Number two, bringing requests, that's supplication. Supplication. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, bringing our, any other requests? Philippians chapter 4, and we'll just look at the one verse here in chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6. He says, be careful for nothing. Verse 6 of chapter 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And friends, God wants to hear what we want to ask Him. He wouldn't put this verse in the Bible unless He did, right? And He says it in other parts of Scripture too. He wants to hear what we desire to ask. And in a sense, if we're striving to be right with the Lord and walking with the Spirit, the things we're asking are the things He wants to hear us pray and desires to answer. We'll look at some of that in just a bit too. But prayer means also bringing requests, supplication. But a third thing here is actually in this verse 2. Notice again, verse number 6. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Thanking God. Thanksgiving to God. Giving of thanks. I like the song that the special was this morning. God's been good. God's been good. And He's blessed us in so many ways. You can go down to the smallest minute things that He allows you and gives you strength to do. You can go to the big things. Wow, I'm thankful for this life-changing event. Whatever it is, thank God. We should always have something to thank God for. Amen. We always do. Let me put it that way. Whether we do, that's up to us. That's up to us. Pray. Pray. God expects us to pray. Number two. Let's go back to the book of Luke, chapter 18. God expects us to pray. Looking at verse 1 again, please. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, and not to faint. Not to faint. Number two, God knows our flesh wants to quit. God knows our flesh wants to quit praying. He said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. He knows that that's a desire or a sense that our flesh eventually will come to. This is useless. I'm tired of this. I don't see what I want, etc. And it wants to quit. Jesus indicates, there's a couple thoughts here, Jesus indicates we stop asking because we don't see an immediate response. How many ever felt that? Lord, I asked You about this before. You didn't do nothing about it. What's going on? sometimes our flesh thinks in the immediate rather than the big picture as God has from his perspective. And if we consider, I think Brother Luke mentioned this in Sunday school this morning, if we consider our lifetime, it's a dot on the line of time. Everything we ask is minute and temporary. But God says there are times when I'll meet it right away, but there are times that I won't. It won't be an immediate response. The Bible tells us here as we look at this parable again in Luke 18, it's told of a widow that went to a judge to seek his help in a matter. She did everything she could lawfully. That's important to remember. She did not try to threaten the judge. She did not try to coerce him, but she didn't give up on telling him what her request was. She, in the beginning, he did not want this woman, did to give any help to this woman. Perhaps he said, I don't have time, I'm not interested in this, but the bottom line is, as you can see there in verse number 4, he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her. Jesus points out, we stop asking because we don't see an immediate response. Jesus points out there are times when God stretches our prayer time with a delayed response from heaven. Turn with me, if you would, Daniel chapter 10. This is the most clear example of this to me in Daniel chapter 10. Let's go there. Jesus points out there are times when God stretches out our praying time with him in a delayed response. Daniel chapter 10. All right, I just passed it. There we go. And look at verse number 10 with me, if you would. And let's read these verses together. Verse number 10 to verse 14. That's where we're going. Chapter 10 of Daniel, starting in verse 10. Let's read down to verse 14, if you would, please, with me. Let's begin. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now Daniel must have had a very strong prayer life. I think the book of Daniel is clear on that he did. Because if it only took 21 days to get an answer from the Lord, that's a pretty good record if you ask me. But certainly the answer was ready from the moment that Daniel asked it, according to these verses. But the Bible says there was a spiritual battle going on that Daniel couldn't see, no human could see it, and yet the angel described it. We don't know that particular angel's name, but he said he needed some help. He needed help from Michael to come and help one of the archangels to help defeat or get past this obstacle and bring the answer to Daniel. This is not the only reason, but it is one of them. This is not the only reason for delay, but it is one of them, spiritual warfare. You know, sometimes we pray and we don't consider there could be some spiritual warfare going on in regards to this situation, that Satan wants something totally different than what God wants on this. Certainly we know the world might, but God says there are times when there's a spiritual warfare battle going on, and part of that is why the delay. It's not the only reason, but it's one of them. Another reason for a delay might be what? What if you don't see the answer? Another reason is you're asking for the wrong thing. I'm asking for the wrong thing. I need God to show me what that's going to be. Or the answer's no. God knows our flesh wants to quit. But even in regards to that, he says, don't quit. Keep praying. Keep praying. Let's go back to Luke 18. Now verse 5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? God rewards, here's the third lesson, God rewards those who continue to pray. He says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? If the request is in agreement with God's written will, pray. If the request is in agreement with God's written will, pray. That's how you know for sure this is what God wants. By the way, let me ask you this. Where can we find God's written will? Maybe he sends you a letter about it every month on his monthly update. I wish it was like that, don't you? But you know what? It's even easier than that. Where do we find it? In the Bible. What God shows is just and right. And we look at our lives or the lives of others or the situation. We say, that's not the way it is. That's what we need to pray for. God, would you make it like that? Would you make it like the Bible says? This woman was determined to get the judge to respond to her need in a positive way. The idea, when the Bible says she troubled him or she continually came, the idea is that she was always there. Wherever he seemed to turn, there she was. Perhaps she was out there in the parking lot when he showed up in the morning. Sir, you remember me? I was just wondering if you had an opportunity to consider my case again. Maybe when he went on break to have his lunch. How many have ever seen folks at the, have you ever been to a courthouse where folks take a break? Man, they don't want to be anywhere near the courtroom, usually when they take a break. Sir, I know it's your lunch hour, but I wonder if you remembered the case that I brought before you. Have you considered what to do about it? Maybe when he got in his, not car, wagon later that day. The Bible's pretty clear. She hounded this guy. She hounded this guy. Sometimes, as we look at parables that Jesus shared, there are keys and little notes that we can look at and say, well, that sounds like a true story. I don't know if this one is. One of the words that usually is in parables that gives us a key that it might be a true story is the word certain, a certain man, a certain scribe, a certain Jew, etc., certain Samaritan, etc. Doesn't say that here necessarily, but you can see this happening, can't you? You can see how this could happen in real life. Perhaps she was there when he headed home. Finally, the judge said, while I don't fear God or regard the person of man, I'm going to grant this woman's request, lest she continue badgering me and weary me with her continual coming. God does not indicate that he's like us, but he does say, from our perspective, this is how it appears to the Lord as we come to him continually, that this is something truly we'd like to see him follow through on. If the request is in agreement with God's written will, pray. Then secondly, if the request has an open end, pray. If the request has an open end, pray. What do you mean by that? Well, how many have ever prayed for a salvation of a soul? Someone that they would get saved. How many prayed for that person more than once? How about for years? You know what, folks? That's something God desires for us to do. It's an open end. We don't know when it's going to happen. But until they make it clear that they trusted the Lord, we should still continue to pray. Remember, Paul prayed for the salvation of Israel. The Bible calls him the apostle to the Gentiles, but he says very clearly, I think it's in the book of Romans, that he prays regularly for the salvation of Israel. Pray for health situations with an uncertain outcome. We're praying for people who have cancers and other things like that. Let me ask you this, in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, what was the most common and death sentence malady that the Bible describes, especially in the New Testament. Leprosy. And there are some instances when people were healed. Who healed them? God healed them. Jesus healed them. In the Old Testament, there's an example of God healing people of leprosy. Things like this, God says, I want you to continue to pray. Uncertain, in our perspective, known by God. And a third thought, the request that's open-ended, future events that are still out of focus. Future events that are still out of focus. In the Old Testament, there was a man named Barzillai. How many remember Barzillai? He was one of the men who helped David while he was fleeing Saul. And now Saul was gone. David was going back to his kingdom, taking things over. And he invited Barzillai, who was an old man, according to the Bible. He was an old chieftain, a great man, the Bible says, known well throughout the land. He said, Barzillai, why don't you come with me? Why don't you come and live out your days in my kingdom? And Barzillai said, no, I've been here all my life. These are my people. This is my land. I'm not going to leave it just so that I can live out there with you in death, with your permission. But I will send, who did he send with him? Anybody remember? A man by the name of Chimham. Kind of a funny sounding name. Chimham was Barzillai's son. He said, I can't fulfill that request of you, my king, but would you take my son? His life is still ahead of him. There's many things that God wants to do through him. Would you allow him to come and enter into the kingdom with you to help serve in that capacity? And he did. He prayed for, I believe, that was an event that's future, but still, what was God going to do through this man? God used him in a mighty way. How about in your family, ministries? If you have friends or family that need to return to God, wow. I think most of us know somebody that we're praying for like that. Lord, would you turn their heart back and life to you? Open-ended, still out of focus, what's going to be in the end, but it's clear there's still opportunity to pray for it. Pray for that person, pray for that situation, etc. If the request has an open end, about our own futures, even about that, what God might have in store. The Bible tells us, number one, God expects us to pray. Number two, God knows our flesh wants to quit. Number three, God rewards those who continue to pray. And number four, I'm going to end on a negative. You're not supposed to do that, but I'm going to do that. Number four is this. God isn't telling us that we can have whatever we want if we just pray long enough. He's not telling us that we can have whatever we want if we just pray long enough. Take a look at verse number eight. What is he encouraging us to do as he talks about this parable of prayer? Here's what it says in verse 8. Actually, would you read that with me? Let's read it together, please. Verse 8, we're in Luke chapter 18. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Did Jesus say when the Son of Man cometh, he shall find the answers to all those prayers on the earth? What is it he's telling his disciples and those listening? This is what Jesus is going to be looking for. He's looking for what? Faith. Faith. Our trust and belief in God, in the Lord, in the things of his word. He's looking for faith. He's not telling us we can have whatever we want, but he is telling us we need to grow in our faith. That's what prayer helps us do. Our prayers should line up with his plan for us. 1 John 5, let's go there. 1 John chapter 5, please. Our prayer should line up within his plan for us. Verse 13 through 15, here's what it says. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. He said, first of all, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. Secondly, ask what his will would be. And then thirdly, if you know it's his will, man, keep asking. Keep asking. Keep seeking his face. Our prayer should line up within his plan for us. Let me ask you, is God's specific plan for you different than his plan for me? Ours intersect. We're here at Grace Baptist Church. We have opportunities to serve together and minister and fellowship, but there's things about our lives that are different. And God says, I want to be in the details, so seek my face and grow in faith. And finally, at no time are we to stop seeking God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll finish with this. At no time are we to stop seeking God in prayer. 1 Thessalonians, let's go there. Better put this over here. By the bird's nest. 1 Thessalonians 5. Take a look. And let's read these together, please. Let's start with verse number 16. We're going to read to verse 18. 16 to verse 18, because I think this is a package verse right here. These packages right here. Let's read those together, please. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. At no time are we to stop seeking God in prayer. Are there times when you shouldn't be praying? How many have ever driven the car with your eyes closed? That doesn't mean that you can't have a sense of God's presence, of course, and we pray for those trips. Trust you do. You pray for God's hand over your travels and so forth. But the Bible does say that pray without ceasing, meaning having a lifestyle of prayer, a life where prayer is included. It's regular. It's daily. He says, as we do, again, giving thanks. This is the will of God and rejoicing evermore over what God continues to do. He wants to see faith. Amen. He wants to see faith grow in our lives. One way that can happen is through prayer and bringing things to God. What we really need is the power of God upon our lives. How many would like that tonight? That doesn't come without prayer. There's a price to be paid to have God's power, and that's dedicating time, bringing requests to Him, bringing confession, bringing thanksgiving to Him. Whatever the need or situation, God wants us to pray about it. There are times when God puts things in our lives that cannot be dealt with any other way than by prayer, than by prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to grow in our prayer life. As we consider this parable tonight, this dear lady, as Jesus pointed out, an example of how we can grow in faith for you. Now I pray, would you use this time to draw us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you stand with me if you're able, if God's spoken to you tonight or today? With heads bowed and eyes closed, this is a great opportunity to pray, to ask God's help on that situation. Maybe you'd like to step forward and pray. That's a great opportunity too, but whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, would you respond in prayer tonight? I'm going to ask the piano to softly play the song in just a moment. When she begins to play, let's respond. Lord, make us prayer warriors. Help us to grow in that faith or some other thought that we saw in His Word tonight as she begins to play. Thank you. Let's sing that song together. It's number 353, Search Me, O God. Let's ask His help. If God's still moving, why don't you respond? But we'll sing the first and the last, if none come after that. 353. Well, let's grow in our time of prayer. We're trying to figure out a good time maybe to do some cottage prayer meetings here in the next month or so. The month is filling up fast, it looks like, but we'll see how the Lord opens up the calendar. But I think that's very important, don't you? It's been a blessing to our church when we've taken time to do that. And we can do it on our own, but also corporately as well. But let's pray. Let's seek God's face on all these things. Speaking of prayer, we'll close with a word of prayer, and then about 5 minutes or so, we'll meet back for our business meeting right after that. So let's have a quick word of prayer on that, and then we'll meet back for our business meeting. If you're not here to stay for that, thank you so much. But do stick around. If you don't want to be in the meeting, that's okay. But we got some special stuff after that that the young people would like to share with you too. So let's continue what God wants to do for us today. I'm going to ask Howard. Would you please close our day with prayer and then for the coming meeting as well?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege you've had now together today in your house and hear the word preached, Lord. We just pray that we will take it to heart and allow the Holy Spirit to use it in us so we'd be more like Jesus. We pray that as the upcoming business meeting, Lord, you'll guide and direct that everything will be done in the right manner. And we ask you.